Welcome to today's episode of Profitable Word by Reverend Francis W. Albing, Lead Pastor, The Keeper's House Chapel International. And now to today's word.
We are going to consider the theme Peculiar People Part 2. Peculiar People Part 2. We are taking our text from Deuteronomy chapter 14, verse 1 and 2. Deuteronomy chapter 14, verse 1 and 2. Say, ye are the children of the Lord your God. Ye shall not cut yourselves, nor make any baldness between your eyes for the dead. Verse 2 says that, for thou art an holy people unto the Lord thy God, and the Lord has chosen thee to be a peculiar people unto himself. And these people are what? Above all the nations that are upon the earth. God has chosen us as peculiar people unto himself. He's chosen us above all the nations of the earth. Praise the Lord. Peculiar People Part 2. Please take your seat. The point has to be made that God's children are not ordinary people. We are a very unique kind of people. And the text does justice to it by saying that, first of all, there are people from all the nations of the earth. So he's dealing with a universal population. Then from that population, he says that, I have chosen a people unto myself, and these people, because of my choice of them, they have become special breed of people. They have become peculiar people unto me. Not ordinary, but peculiar people unto me. By my choice, God is speaking. Choosing Israel, he made Israel special among their contemporaries of the time. And he said that these people were also made holy. In the New Testament, we talk about redemption. But they were made holy. They were sanctified to be a peculiar people unto God. So if you're a child of God, you have to understand your peculiarity with God and in God. That simply tells you that you are not the same as the rest of the people of this world when it comes to God. When it comes to what? We are all human beings, but when it comes to the Lord, we are not seen the same. There are people who are peculiar to him, and he's chosen those people to be peculiar to him. It's by the choice of God that you and I are supposed to be deemed peculiar to God. And if we are peculiar to God, then we have to begin to see ourselves to be peculiar people. Praise the Lord. Are you here? And he said, because you are peculiar to me, in verse 1, there are some things you cannot do. There are some things you cannot do. He said, you cannot cut yourselves and you cannot make baldness between your eyes for the dead. So the way the people of the world do their funerals, you cannot do it because you are peculiar people unto me. Now, in Deuteronomy chapter 20, verse 16 to 18, it shows us that, yes, we are chosen to be peculiar people unto God, but the reason why that mindset should be so established with us is because, can we go to verse number 15? Is because we need to understand a few things. Thus shalt thou do unto all the cities which are very far off from thee, which are not of the cities of these nations. So God gave them a number of cities to take as an inheritance. And in verse 16, he said that, but of the cities of these people, which the Lord thy God doth give thee for an inheritance, thou shalt save alive nothing that breatheth. So God told them, he said, I'm giving you these cities. You can spare other people, but these cities that I'm giving you for an inheritance, anything that breathes, don't spare it. Clear everything. And the reason why they were supposed to clear is what we're going to read. So it was a different dispensation. And God needed them to clear. Verse 17 says that, But thou shalt utterly destroy them, namely the Hittites, the Amorites, the Canaanites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites. As the Lord thy God has commanded, it was command to totally annihilate them, destroy them, wipe them out. 18 says, the reason why you don't need a remnant of these people amongst you is so that they teach you not to do after all their abominations, which they have done unto their gods. So should ye sin against the Lord your God. So the reason why God wanted the cities he was giving them to be totally cleared was because there was always the risk of God's people being taught the abominable act of these foreign nations with foreign idols. And so God said, clear everyone so that there is no chance that you will be taught how to serve other gods. Because what they do in service with other gods and in those lands is abominable in the sight of God. So if you learn it and practice it, you will also enter into the same abomination they are in. Are you with me? And God had to let them know that even though they are human beings, they are cities I'm giving you, you are different from them. You are different from them. You are peculiar people. And that's why your worship must be peculiar to me. It must be customized. It must be something that you have really tailored based on what is acceptable with me, and abhor whatever is not acceptable as far as worshiping me is concerned. So when it comes to walking with the Lord as a Christian, it is not everything that goes, because first and foremost, we have been made holy and chosen as a peculiar people unto God. So we cannot embrace the philosophy of the world in serving the Lord. If you are here, say I'm here. And then again, there are things that God prescribes for us to embrace if we are to make our walk with him a very functional and fruitful one. You cannot look at what happens in certain quarters and duplicate in worship with Jesus Christ. Why? Because when you were in the world of universalism, it was accepted there. But now I have chosen you and made you a peculiar people. You must have a peculiar mindset. And you must flow with what works with me, the Lord Jesus Christ, and know what doesn't work with me. That is what makes us peculiar. That he chose us. What makes us peculiar? That he chose us. So it's not your making. It's not like, you know, if I want, la, 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 la. You and I, we have been chosen to be a peculiar people. Say, I've been chosen. Please tell somebody that I am a chosen child of God. And I'm a very peculiar person in the sight of God. So he says that because you have been chosen and you are peculiar, you cannot mingle. That's why in Corinthians, he says that come out from amongst them. What has light got to do with darkness? The house of God with the house of Belial. It says that even though eat food that has been sacrificed to idols, it is normal with unbelievers. It ought not to be normal with the believer who is peculiar. So he said, come out from amongst them. Be separated. Praise the Lord. Don't follow that philosophy. Don't follow their pattern of life. The Bible says friendship with the world is enmity with God. Don't follow it. Follow what is suitable for worshiping Jesus Christ, because we are a peculiar people. There are abominations, whether under grace or otherwise. Once you say, I'm a child of God, I'm born again, you need to follow the template Jesus has laid for us to follow. And like we keep saying, that his pattern should be our practice. Jesus' pattern should be our practice. Praise the Lord. If you are here, say, I am here. Ask somebody, are you mingling? Or you are seeing your peculiarity? Jesus Christ. So who are peculiar people. In Titus chapter 2, verse 11 to 15, I've told you about, or I've shown you what pertains in the Old Testament. Let's look at what pertains in the New Testament. In Titus 2, 11, we're going all the way to 15. It says, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation has appeared to all men. Verse 12, this grace has appeared to all men. It says, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly. We should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. So say, it is possible in this present world to live godly, soberly, righteously. Praise the Lord. What are we looking for? We are looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Lord Jesus Christ, who is our Savior. So, he said, who gave this Lord Jesus Christ, who is our Savior? He gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee. So Apostle Paul was writing, the apostle was writing to Titus, and he says that, Pastor Titus, these things teach these things, speak about them, exhort the people, rebuke with all authority. Let nobody bully you. Let nobody despise you. The foundation of you teaching is the fact that the grace of God has appeared unto all men. The grace of God that brings salvation, it has appeared unto all men, believers, non-believers. But not all men have appropriated that grace. Those who have appropriated it are those who have made a choice. John chapter 3 verse 16 says that those who believe, 17, 16 says God so loved the world. 17, those who believe, praise the Lord. So even though the grace has appeared unto all men, unto salvation, not everyone has taken what has been made available unto us. So Jesus died for all, but not all are for Jesus. Because to be a part of Jesus is a choice. And if you have not made a choice for Jesus to be your Lord and personal Savior, he will not be your Lord and personal Savior by force. Even though the work he did has been done, is certified, the work he did cannot be denied. What did he do? Verse 14 says that he gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from the bondage of sin, iniquity, from all iniquity. Say all. So when I was saved, not one sin was not paid for. Every single one was paid for. Totally, completely. Say, I don't owe sin. Because Jesus paid for it all. Praise the Lord. So I'm not a sinner. In Christ, I'm not a sinner. Because it's been paid for. The penalty of sin has been paid for. The price of sin has been paid for. He redeemed us. He actually bought us from the table of sin. Table of whatever was enslaving us. And he's made us to be a part of himself. That's why he says that when he now redeemed us, he took us home. And when he took us home, like my wife, he washed it. He washed the tomato. Washed the apple. Purified it. Sanctified it. Ate it and made it a part of himself. So he said, purifying unto himself a peculiar people. So when he redeemed us, he now purified us and married us. According to Ephesians chapter 5. He married us. And the two have become what? One. And if you are married to the Lord, you are not normal. Praise the Lord. Are you normal? If you are married to the Lord, are you normal? Is the wife of the president normal? Why are you not talking to me? The wife of the president is normal. It's not normal. Your own wife is not normal. And your husband is not normal. Yes, there is only, the law recognizes in civil marriage, recognizes one partner as either wife or husband. There are other marital models. But once you go to court to sign that you want to marry under the is it Olivia, do we call it civil ordinance? Marriage under the ordinance. The law recognizes one partner. Any other person you try to marry, you go into, it's an infringement on the law. Hello? So, you can see that when you are redeemed to be part of him, it's a very special case. Before the law, before the devil, before God. Now you have become a part of him. Praise the Lord. And as a peculiar person, you have been designed for good works. So you can see that being a peculiar person to Christ does not deny you having a good life, good works, good business, good marriage. God has allowed us to marry. Me, I'm married, you know. Some people initially thought that when you're a peculiar person, marriage is taken away from you. That's why they went into celibacy. But when we look at the totality of the counsel of God in Scripture, we find out that the provision is there. You have to make a choice not to take it. So being in the Lord does not forbid or inhibit anyone from marrying. If you don't want to marry, it should be your choice. But the provision of marriage is on ground for everyone who is peculiar. That means that there is pleasure in being a peculiar person with God. There is what? Pleasure. There are provisions. It's unto good works. Great works. Can still be a great business person as a peculiar person. Can still be a great spouse as a peculiar person. Great pastor. Nothing is denied us. Bible says he's given us all things to enjoy. Everything that pertaineth unto life and godliness. He's given us all things to what? Enjoy. And daily he loads us with what? Benefits. Every good and perfect gift he's given us. So being peculiar to the Lord is not denial from what is good in this life. It's actually an enforcement of who you are and your entitlement to things that are the best of this life. Being a peculiar person. That's why if you know that, you will not seek to be like the people of the world. You will not seek to operate like the people of the world. Because peculiar people operate differently. If you are here, say I'm here. But the way a believer enjoys the wife is different from the way an unbeliever does. It's the way. You have a peculiar mind. The way a believer sees the spouse in peculiarity. See, the unbeliever might never consider their spouse as one made in the image and the likeness of God. The unbeliever might not consider their spouse. I read the scripture. I think it's in Galatians chapter 3. Let's look at the last verse there. It's a very beautiful verse. Galatians, I was reading it this dawn. It blessed my heart so much. Galatians 3, maybe verse. I don't know what the last verse is. Look at it. You have 14, 15, 16. Yeah, look at the last verse. 29. Say, if ye be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Praise the Lord. Can you go to verse 27? Verse 27. It said, for as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. You have put on Christ. 28. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female. For ye are all one in Christ Jesus. You see that the peculiar person has a different mindset. No Jew nor Greek. Neither bond nor free. No male nor female. In Christ. He says, all of us are one in Christ. So you see that the mindset God wants the peculiar person to have is entirely different from what the world has. The world will not see the husband just as a leader of the home, but the husband also has authority to subjugate the wife. Maybe dominate the wife, control the wife. But in Christ, we know that we are one. And Christ has put a leadership that is not a controlling leadership. That does not mean paying dowry means you own the person. It's not a payment for their lives. It's a recognition by the family that their family member is in a marital covenant with you.
And if you are killing the person, they can withdraw the person. Because they didn't give the person to you to do a burial service. And in Christ, your mind is different as a husband from that of an unbelieving husband. Or a husband that belongs to the world. Praise the Lord. Come on now. Praise God. So even in Christ, when the Bible says that the body of the man belongs to the wife and the body of the woman belongs to the man, you have to look at it from that peculiar state. Because in the peculiarity, we stand in light. What is the definition of light when it says the man does not own his body and the woman does not own his body? Does that mean you can rape your wife? Does that mean if she is not in a position or not in the mood to give you conjugal matters, you can beat the person? Is it by force? That's not the position of scripture. Then when the Bible also says that your bodies belong to one another in the light, because in darkness the definition may be different. In darkness the definition may be dark. But in the light we see blue, we see red, we see yellow, we see green. Is that also? In darkness, everything is black. But in the light, it is clearly defined, except you are not interested. But if you are interested, contest is there to guide you. Meaning is there to guide you. Truth. Truth is absolute in the light. 1 + 1 = 2. Truth. 1 = 1. Truth. 3 = 3. Truth. You can't say, oh, 3 = 3.2. No. In light, there's no ambiguity. What the Lord is saying to us is very clear. He says that in the end time, the Spirit speaks explicitly to us. No ambiguity. It is clear. You will know the truth. If the truth is not absolute and is not to be known, if the truth is a span, then you can't know the truth. Someone will be holding the leg. Another will be holding the ear. But the truth, Jesus is the truth. The truth is a person. When you know Jesus, you will know what he stands for. And what he stands for is not ambiguous. It's clear for peculiar people. He said, as a peculiar person, you and I have been redeemed and purified unto him. So you are peculiar because you have been set aside for him. That's why you are not normal. That's why you are not ordinary. That's why you are different from everyone in any religion or everyone in the world, because they don't have Christ in them. They have not been set aside for Christ. Some people are very good friends of yours, but they have been set aside for the devil. Some of them have been set aside for themselves. Some of them have been set aside for other things, because anyone who doesn't have Christ in them is not a peculiar person set aside for Christ. It might not, you see, who and what they are set aside for, it shouldn't be your problem. You should be concerned about the fact that I know whom I've been set aside for. Paul said, I know whose I am and whom I should serve. Praise the Lord. Are you here at all? So some people know, some people, once you get closer to them, they know me. I've been set aside for this one, that one, that one, that one, that one. You are playing with fire. But you and I, we don't know what we have been set aside for, who we have been set aside for. That's why you are touching someone who has been set aside for a very aggressive entity. Will tell you, don't touch you. Don't touch my money. Yo. They will warn you for your own good. Hello? But we don't, we think that the Lord Jesus Christ that we've been set up for is a liberalist. Or is nothing at all. Like everything, like no. Man. Look at someone and say, man. Set aside. And the way you, so knowing who you are, that I'm a peculiar person, it makes a world of difference in your walk with God. That Titus we read is so powerful. Says that you and I have been set aside. That's why we cannot be entangled with certain things. We have to have a particular mindset. And that mindset should guide us in the way we function, because we are peculiar people, because we have been redeemed by Christ and he has set us aside unto himself. In 1 Peter 2:6, 1 Peter 2:6, all the way to verse 10, 1 Peter 2:6 to 10, it says that, verse 6 says that, wherefore also it is contained in the scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. He's talking about Jesus Christ. You believe on him, you shall not be confounded. Verse 7 says that, unto you therefore which believe, he is precious, but unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner. So those who believe, we believe, and because of that, Jesus is precious to us. Praise the Lord. It's a value matter. And a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they are what? They were what? Appointed. That's it. All these people who don't believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, all these things are their realities. But those of us who have believed on him, he says that, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, an holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Can we read the whole pack in message from verse 6? In the message, he says, the scripture provides precedent. Look, said, I'm setting a stone in Zion, a cornerstone in the place of honor. Whoever trusts in this stone as a foundation will never have cause to regret it. He said, to you who trust him, he's a stone to be proud of. But to those who refuse to trust him, the stone the workmen threw out is now the chief foundation stone. He said, for the untrusting, it's a stone to trip over, a boulder blocking the way. They trip and fall because they refuse to obey, just as predicted. Praise the Lord. It's predictable. He says that, but you are the ones chosen by God, chosen for the high calling of priestly work, chosen to be a holy people, God's instrument to do his work and speak out for him, to tell others of the night and day difference he made for you. Night and day difference. You move from darkness to light. Peculiar people. Verse 10. He said, from nothing to something, from rejected to accepted. Say, in my peculiarity is my value. I'm not hearing you at all. Say, in my peculiarity is my value. From nothing to something. To show the difference between night and day. It didn't say day and night, though. Night and what? From nothing to something. Yeah. That you can see the symmetric nature of when in verse 9 in the King James, he said you have been moved from darkness into light. And the symmetry of what pertains to darkness and what pertains to what? Light. In the message. In the message in verse 9, look at that. It said God's instrument to tell others of the night and day difference he made for you. Night and day. It's clear. The night is never the day and the day is never the night. He said you have been moved from darkness into light. And in showing that symmetry again, go to verse 10. He now shows that this peculiar person has been moved from night or darkness, which is nothing, to light, which is what? Something. So as a peculiar person, your somethingness is in the light. Your value is in the light. Except from rejected to accepted. Darkness is rejected. Light is accepted. Favored. Praise the Lord. Say, I'm favored. Can't hear you. I can't feel you. Say, I'm favored. Say, I'm not rejected. That's why he told them. He said that I want to tell you that you are accepted within the brethren. You are accepted. So if you are here, you feel inferior, you have inferiority complex, you have identity crisis and all of that. It's just because you don't know your peculiarity. You don't know who you are in Christ. What's my value in Christ? He's moved me from nothing to something, from rejected to accepted. He's in me to show the clear difference between my night and day. Where I used to be and where I am now. I'm not ordinary. I'm peculiar. You know, if I was preaching about breaking generational curses, a lot of people would be awake. I'm preaching about power. Your power is knowing that you are a peculiar person. I'm not ordinary. And you need to know who you are, whose you are, to walk in power. Who are you? Who are you? Let's look at John chapter 1, verse 12. John chapter 1, verse 12. You just see something. He said, but in verse 12, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. I'm a peculiar person because I believe in Jesus and I've accepted Jesus into my life as my Lord and personal Savior. He's giving me power to become the Son of God, the child of God. That is divinity manifesting in humanity. That's just a simple definition of the Son of God or the child of God. So that product, when divinity steps into humanity with God, is what is called the Son of God. It is not God's biological child. So that you say that God the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, that means that God gave birth to Jesus. You are not serious. When God steps from eternity to humanity, that entity of our God is called the Son of God. Coming to be born by a human being under the law to save men is called the Son of God. Praise the Lord. It's a theological definition for God in that state. Not because God the Father somewhere gave birth to. Praise the Lord. Okay. Now, we know that as many as receive him, he gave them the power to become what? Sons of God. Even to them that believe on. Look at the next verse. 13. It says that which were born. But not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of what? God. So here, he's saying that when you have Christ in you, you become a son of God. Your dynamics are different from how you should conceptualize who you are as a natural person. That the natural person is someone who was born as you are also born. But that one was born of blood, natural blood, born of the will of the flesh, the will of your mother meeting your father biologically to give birth to you. We want to have a child, even if it's a mistake. Some people, something happened. Are you here at all? You are a product of something happening. It's a very natural biological process. And he gave birth. He said, nor of the will of man. Okay, you have seen will of man there. Hello? Wave your hands to me if you have seen will of man there. He says that natural people, they were born of the flesh, born of the will of man. But the one who has been given power to become the Son of God, he was born of God, not of the flesh, of God. 14 says what? And the Word was made flesh and dwelt amongst men. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and what? Truth. But the point I want to show you is that when you come to believe Christ and you get to know that I'm a peculiar person, one of the things that must change from your mind is the fact that you belong to a biological tree. You belong to a biological line. He said, when you are natural, you belong to that biological line. So you can inherit, please go to the verse 13. You can inherit all that is in that biological package because you were born out of the blood. That hereditary of whatever is in the blood must flow to you as long as you are in that state where you have not been given power to become a son of God. Born of the flesh simply means that generational curse can still run through you because you still are connected to your fleshly background. Born of the will of a man. Your mother can stand and curse you. Your father can stand and curse you biologically, and it should stand if you are not a Christian. But if you are a child of God, you have been given power where even though you were biologically born to all these people, you have shifted nature into a different platform where now you are seen to be born of God. That born of God simply means that the sicknesses that flow through your natural lineage by blood, by flesh, by the will of man, does not technically flow through you because you are no longer connected to that family tree. You are connected to the family tree of God. And based on this peculiarity, you can stand by faith and begin to deal with whatever is trying to connect you back to the negativity of the flesh, the curses in the family. You stand in the fact that I am born of God. That is your peculiar nature. So any curse in the flesh, cursed by the will of people who served idols to the 100th generation, you are not supposed to flow into me because I'm not connected to this family by flesh. I'm now connected to my family in Christ. And in Christ, there's no curse. So this thing that is trying to interfere with my life, I have a legal ground in Christ to say that he bore my sin, he bore my sickness, so I bind you in the, and you continue to bind until that thing will submit itself to your authority in Christ as a peculiar person. That's why we can make a blanket statement that if you are a Christian, you cannot be cursed. Balaam showed us. He said that anytime I cursed, it was turned into a blessing. Because if you can't curse God, then you shouldn't be able to curse the child of God. It's the same nature. The child of God is swallowed by God. Praise the Lord. And your covering determines what can assess you. Because my DNA is not curse accessible, how will you lay curse on me? Balaam tried everything there was to try. He says that, I have received a commandment to bless. Who am I to curse? Anytime I curse, God turned it into a blessing. And Jacob, Isaac told Esau, he says that, I have blessed Jacob. And there's nothing you can do about it. The guy is blessed, he's blessed. Because the genetics is a blessed one. Hello, are you here at all? It's a blessed one, so you can't curse it. So when you are seeing anything that looks like a curse around you, know that you are not born of man, born of the will of man, nor born of the flesh. You can challenge that thing because I'm a peculiar person. Receiving Christ into me has made me a peculiar person. I cannot follow the poverty in the family. There are people sitting here who still believe that everyone, because everyone, every one of your aunties was a born one. You too, by all means, you'll be born one before you marry. Abba. Christ in you makes you a peculiar person. Your equation is different. Said, and that word becomes flesh, sees glory. Say, my case is different. One more time. Say, my case is different. My case is different because I'm a peculiar person. Praise the Lord. Is it entering somebody's heart? Who is a peculiar person here? Are you sure you're a peculiar person? The poverty in your house, you know, you are not part of the counted heads. Because now you belong to something we call the family of God. The household of faith. Praise the Lord. My life is hid in Christ. I live and move and have my being in what? In Christ. Yeah, so I respect my biological parent and all of that. But truth be told. If you were a Christian, your biological parent lay curse on you. I'm not saying go and disobey. You know, sometimes when we preach, people just begin to have some kind of mind. And, you know, you can be held down to something that is not truth based on the nature you have. Do you know how many curses have been laid on some of us by elderly people in society who didn't like us, including our biological... Let me talk about my father. There is no curse conceivable that he has not spoken over me. But thank God for Christ. Do you understand? Christ in me makes me a property of Christ. He has set me aside to be a peculiar person. The Bible says, who are you to curse another man's servant? It's like they can't. See, I'm talking right now. There's a parent here. You are very angry because you feel like I'm taking your authority. Because all the time, your authority has been established in fear. But God's authority is established in love. Because a because you are in darkness and you cannot access light. That place is too far for you to assess. Too far. Nyamia fa oba no ye na de. Untumi mbo ni de amani nye ye. We ni nji a mon solve case no. Jai di abo no na o ha ho kwa. O wu ma yesi o clean. Obodua nye ye. Na mami eni abre no obodua din 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 papa body wo. Me ku me body e ku ato atwe. Oboa. Except the person doesn't know who they are in Christ. If they know who they are in Christ, they are look who could Christ yem ne yin abon diana saying. There is no means possible for any curse to land on your head, whether it's by your by your biological father, biological mother, whatever. You know when Isaac was praying for people, Jacob was not happy with Reuben and the rest and all of that. Now, you know they did not have Christ though, even though they were in the household of God. So the way that under the old covenant certain things operate is different from how things operate under the new covenant. Praise the Lord. Are curses real? Yes. Are some of them hanging around believers? Yes. But we have the solution. The solution is that curses hanging around you with Christ, when you step in, even the devil who upholds curses, are you here? Understands that if you have Christ, it must pack. In the New Testament, there is nobody who had Christ and curses landed successfully on their head. Why? Hello? Yes, now. Peculiar people. Is it a certificate to misbehave to elders? No. Hello? Is it a certificate? Because if you have Christ, you have the Spirit of God, that tells you that there is order. That tells you that there is authority in families. That tells you that honoring your mother and father in the Lord gives you a benefit. Praise the Lord. Gives you a benefit. You see, sometimes we try to make it like this. But we can't say what the Bible didn't say. We can only say what the Bible said. The Bible said, if you honor them, it shall be well with you. Your days will be long. Praise the Lord. What the Bible didn't say, we shouldn't say. And the Bible only said that if you honor them, you will see blessings, you see long years, and you see wellness. That is what we should concern ourselves with. Praise the Lord. So sometimes a pastor will stand there and then you will curse a child of God. Now we yeman kwe wu. Then say, hey, show say wo power. Tie. Obwa. Meswe de. Obwa. Jesus is not going to kill his child to satisfy you. Forget it. This is forget it. And I believe that when you are serving under pastors, you have to be loyal. You have to be obedient because God has put you under your shepherd. In Hebrews, it talks about the fact that they will lead you with joy. Praise the Lord. But that I take authority into my hand as if it's my blood that saved you. And I say, because I'm not happy, you are cursed. Hey! Aqua power. Cursing left, right, center. And it must not work. If it's working because you yourself have accepted it by fear. You have look, people who are in the light, some things don't happen around them. If there's a problem between you and a pastor, Bible has given a roadmap to solving that issue. Go and sit down and solve it. Are you here with me? Go if between you and your mother, your father, your boss, whatever, between you and your friend, sit down and solve it. Do your best. You know, someone asked me a question. He said that the scripture said that those who sin you remit shall be remitted, and those who sin you don't remit shall not be remitted. Does that mean that if someone does me something and I don't forgive the person, God will not forgive the person? Send me a person who call hell and one is all your madia me fanchel. And yeah, hell zim. But you see, in explaining to the person what the truth of God's word is, we can miss some variables of truth. Because we can be so defiant that we get to that place, we say that, no, if human being does not forgive you, you won't go to hell. God will forgive you anyway. So it doesn't matter. It matters and it doesn't matter at the same time. Because the Bible has said that if you and your brother, you have an issue, he said, you should solve it. Praise the Lord. And if you are at fault, you should be remorseful enough to seek for the forgiveness of your brother. Because there are some things, they are just earthly. They are what? Look, obijo ugela, earthly. Ubefube boniti abawo bua, enya nintene nipa nbeko he, obua. Obijo uskana wentiaka, earthly. Enya nintene nipa nbeko he, mamin kama se. These are earthly transactions. So when you are giving your money to someone, watch who you give it to. Because they ain't going to hell for it. But when you take someone's money, you should have integrity to pay back. Praise the Lord. And if you don't pay back, it's not a good thing to do as a child of God. And you should go to jail if there's possibility. And the person, you can go to jail and leave the jail and go to heaven. But sometimes the jail is not necessary. Hello? Yeah. So that we interpret the scriptures well. So that it doesn't look like, oh, no. For society, the Bible says that if it is possible, live at peace with all men. For society's proper functioning and order, it is important that when you borrow money from someone, you pay back under agreeable interest. And you don't just make yourself like, I don't care. And he said, oh God, you know, the money I collected from the person I didn't pay back. Please, I'm sorry, forgive me. And you don't attend to the person. You are kidding me. Oh, the king be counsel beer. And when that one also canes you, God is not interested in the matter. Are you here? Yeah. But if man does not forgive you, it doesn't stop God from forgiving you. If your heart is right with God, you are repentant, you are remorseful, you go to God. Because there are some people, when you are even remorseful and you go and say, please, I am very sorry, forgive me, they are not ready to forgive. Bible says, send elders, mediators, like do everything possible. Some of them, once they, you will send everything Bible has prescribed, they will still say, mm-mm. He said, when you have done what the Bible said you should do, at that level, you have to concern yourself with the vertical forgiveness between you and God. God, I'm very sorry. I've tried. Da 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 da. God will be very fine with you. And that person who didn't forgive is their own matter. Hello? Hello? Or else human being will hold another human being. But we have not been given in that power to hold human being. And you are a peculiar person. Say, I'm a peculiar person. Say, I'm a peculiar person. I'm blessed. Are you blessed? Are you sure you are blessed? So, it says that as a peculiar person, God is using you to show the difference between your night and day. You are no longer in the darkness. You are in light. And as a peculiar person, Psalm 135 verse 3 and 4, not only have you become a peculiar person, but you see, you have also become a peculiar treasure to God. Thou compassest someone, please, 35, 3 and 4. He said, praise the Lord, for the Lord is good. Sing praises unto his name, for it is pleasant. It's a good thing to do. It's a very good thing to do. And he said, he's showing us now the foundation upon which we should be praising God. And one of those foundations is that for the Lord has chosen Jacob unto himself and Israel for his peculiar treasure. That you have been chosen as a peculiar treasure unto God is the reason why you must be praising God. And it's a good thing to praise God. Because you have been chosen as a peculiar person unto God. Praise the Lord. Peculiar treasure. God has not made you just a peculiar person. He's made you a treasure. Very unique treasure. To himself. So, we are not just peculiar people. In praise, we have become peculiar treasure. And he says that you are a peculiar people so that you will show forth the praise. Show forth. Demonstrate the praise of God. Then you have become a peculiar treasure. I'm telling you that once you understand I'm a peculiar treasure, of God. Number one, peculiar person means that I'm not ordinary amongst people. Number two, treasure means that I'm a personal possession. A valuable one at that. Treasure is not a word for anything ordinary. Treasure is something for something that is valuable. True or false? Treasure. Peculiar treasure. In Exodus 19, verse 1 to 5. Look at that. Exodus 19, 1 to 5. It says that, in the third month, when the children of Israel were gone forth out of the land of Egypt, the same day came they into the wilderness of Sinai. That is, when they left Rephidim, it took them 3 months to get to where Sinai was. It said, for they were departed from Rephidim and were come to the desert of Sinai and had pitched in the wilderness, and there Israel camped before the mount. 3 says that, and Moses went up unto God, and the Lord called unto him out of the mountain, saying, thus shalt thou say to the house of Jacob, and tell the children of Israel. What should he tell them? Ye have seen what I did unto the Egyptians, and how I bear you on eagle's wings, and brought you unto myself. He said, tell them. Remember, he says that, ye have seen. Please give me verse 5. Tell them, I carried you on eagle's wings. He said, now therefore. Somebody say, now therefore. He said, if ye will obey my voice indeed, and keep my commandment, keep my covenant, then ye shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine. If you obey me, you will become a peculiar treasure. Praise the Lord. You got a peculiar treasure. A very functional one. You know, some people have treasure, they never bring it out. Are you here? Yeah, they never. It's in the wardrobe. It's not in the market. It's not showcased. He says that when you obey me, I will showcase you as a treasure. You will not just be a peculiar people. I will showcase you. I will let signs and wonders happen around you. The whole world will see that you are a peculiar treasure. I like you to put you around my neck. I like to front with you, showcase my glory with you. If you obey me, that's what I'm going to make you to be. Are you a treasure in the wardrobe? A hidden treasure? Or a useful treasure? Are you money in circulation? Or your money at rest? What kind of currency is that? Never used before. Never in circulation. You have never bought even a tomato before. Where is your value? If you have not been used in exchange, we can't brag about you. We can't go to the market with you. It says, if you obey me, I will make you become a peculiar treasure. You can be a Christian. You say, I'm peculiar, I'm peculiar. You are living in disobedience. You are, I'm peculiar, I'm peculiar. The Holy Spirit is not interested in, he can do it, but he will not sustain it if you are consistently disobedient to him. He's not using you to showcase his glory in any way. Also, I would say, I'm a peculiar person. I'm a peculiar person. Peculiar sister. Sister, what's he any so? Don't you know I'm a peculiar person? Useless peculiarity. Say, if you obey me, I'll make you a useful one. Praise the Lord. Covenant. We talk about covenant. I'm a peculiar person. There's a way God will prosper me. It's different from the way he prospered the people of the world. Or he allows them to be prosperous. Because I'm a peculiar person. Okay. Doesn't matter how sweet cake is. Goat wants the back of the banana and cassava. Because of its peculiarity. It does seem good. A cake is celebrated. No one celebrates the back of a cassava. But the goat is peculiar. That's why you cannot even deny the goat its food. Because of its peculiarity, you can find its food everywhere. Hello? But do you see cake growing on the ground? have this mind that I'm not ordinary. Have it. That's why I step out to do my tithing. Some people say it's necessary, it's not necessary. Do it by revelation. If you have revelation, your peculiarity will rise. Some people don't see the need. But I was telling the first service that, look, even if tithe is not to be practiced, it doesn't reduce me to anything. I believe that the scriptures actually in the New Testament shows that we should give our all. We should what? Give our all. But the tithe is a learning level. The Bible says Jesus learned obedience. And you will agree with me that in all our peculiarity, we learn obedience. Praise the Lord. So you are learning to give your all to God, but you are starting from what is doable. And by the time you see that anyone who has paid tithe consistently and has gotten a revelation for honoring God with the tithe doesn't struggle to give other areas of their life to God. Praise the Lord. So your fundamentals for mathematics is not correct. How do you solve the advanced one? You learn obedience. The tithe is part of learning how to obey, to honor God. And you see that for all we say, for all you say, all the people who struggle to go through the schoolmaster, assuming even if you said the tithe is part of the law, yeah? Even though it was practiced before the law was a schoolmaster to lead us to Christ, who is the promise of the seed of Abraham. The schoolmaster has not schooled you. How do you pass? You see that those who have not learned obedience, they find it difficult to do the things that they are called to do. Because they never, Jesus said, you people have not learned of me. The learning is important. Learning to give 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 out of 100. Yeah, you have gone far. If you can do that, you can do the rest. It's too powerful. That's why I know that by revelation, when I honor the Lord with my tithe, you may say that it doesn't have any place in the New Testament, even though it's there, clearly. But we won't force you that, oh, do it or you will die. We won't force you. But if you do it by revelation, you are going to see that anyone who honors the Lord also honors the person. Praise the Lord. Honor the Lord. Do it by revelation that, God, I'm honoring you. This, anytime I have this, I'm honoring you. You will see the honor of God in your life. He honored Abraham. He honored him so much. So much. Anyone who honored the Lord with a tithe before the law, God honored them. So much. Praise the Lord. I want to end here. They say that by faith, know that Christ in you makes you a peculiar person. I'm not ordinary. Don't think you are ordinary, because you are never ordinary. You're a peculiar person. That's why your pathway to the blessing is also very unique. So when you see an unbeliever, you know, making it and all of that, there is a way the peculiar person to can make it. So I don't jump into darkness to try to make it in the light. I stay in the light to make it. So I'm a peculiar person. And the light has everything for me to become all that God wants me to become. You will marry in the light. You will have your children in the light. You will prosper in the light. Wherever you go, the light has made provision for you. The same way those who are outside the light, they have their own way of functioning. You in the light, you have your way of functioning, and you will never be denied anything good. Clap your hands and bless the Lord. Tell somebody, I'm not ordinary. I'm peculiar. I'm special. I'm unique. When you're a peculiar treasure, God keeps you for the important seasons. He showcases His glory with you. You want me to go down. God wants me to go up. Because I'm a peculiar treasure. Praise the Lord. You are going to go higher in Jesus' name. So when you know your peculiarity, it makes you to take a particular position with the Lord. And people may not understand that position. But you know, because you are peculiar, You can't. Do you understand? In the traditional religion, there are some places people who are twins cannot do some things because of their peculiarity based on their traditional definition. They say, you don't touch this, you don't that. So even if those things excite their friends, they don't go near it because they know they are peculiar. You take pleasure in your peculiarity when you're a child of God. Everyone is going down. You know, I'm only going up. The path of the righteous is shining. I'm a peculiar person. I don't know backwardness. You cannot keep me down. Are you here at all? I'm peculiar. You push me down, you will find me on the other side. So me peogram me do any ma meko because I'm what? Peculiar. Peculiar person, peculiar treasure. They say you will not marry. It's a lie. It's a lie. I'm a peculiar person, and God has identified a peculiar partner for me. Won't to me nya ho she. Peculiar marriage. Praise the Lord. I'm a peculiar person. I will not be unemployed for life. God has given me opportunities. He is giving me product. Are you here at all? Peculiar person has peculiar provision. You have peculiar beauty, peculiar favor. You not crumble. Pericusatere. Peculiar. Oh, you will shine in Jesus' mighty name. You will prosper in Jesus' mighty name. Receive it by the power of the Holy Ghost. Thank you, Father. Lift up your hands. Begin to thank Him. Begin to bless Him. Begin to honor Him. Father, thank you for making me a peculiar person. Thank you for making me a peculiar person. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for choosing me and making me a peculiar person. Loco pare so sete kete. Eteligre de beregerose. Asonda li ke preno seke. Para so sekle paso. Edule klenu se prenu kose. Yes, Lord. Shakata labaka parakata. Ile kote selete. I thank you, Lord. I'm a peculiar person. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you that curses cannot be laid on me. Thank you that I am prosperous. Thank you that my pathway is great. Thank you, Lord. Hey, sota la baba. Iko re sote le brekete. Reko pare sose. Ekende la makosede. Eto reko si prediga. Ashakala baba baba, ashakala baba baba, ashakala baba, ashokala preteke. Yes, Lord. Thank you, Father. What does it take to be a peculiar person? Just receive Christ. Jesus paid it all. If you are here, I'd like you to close your eyes. If you are here, you have heard the word, but you have not Jesus, you have not received Jesus into your life as your Lord and personal Savior. Today you have an opportunity to ask Jesus to come into your life. Don't assume it. Ask Him to come into your life, to become your Lord and your personal Savior. You want to say, Jesus, I surrender to you. Please, I want every eye to close. If you are that person, you want Jesus to come into your life, you want pastor to pray with you. If you are that person, you can raise your right hand and I'll pray with you wherever you are. You want Jesus to come into your life. You say, Jesus, I want you to come into my life. I want you to come into my life. Become my Lord and my personal Savior. My master. Choose me as a peculiar person. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Father, we bless you. We honor you. In Jesus' name, amen. Can you give the Lord a big clap offering? Clap for Jesus. Clap for Jesus. Clap for Jesus.
Be a part of our family on social media at the Keeper's House Chapel International. Visit us at the Testimony Arena, Jefamco Junction, Medina Estate. You can also follow Reverend Francis Albing on all social media platforms. God bless you.